We might have to have an ad break so I can get more wine, but I'm good for now.
Oh, whoa, we got to the stage of ad breaks. Nice, nice.
It's not even an ad break, it's just like a 10-second jingle break, but I call it an ad break. I don't really know why. But
this is sponsored by Kate's Tolerance to Alcohol.
Hello, my fellow confused and probably hungover 20-somethings, and welcome back to Navigating Your 20s, a podcast pointing you in the wrong direction with me, Kate Whittaker. Time for more drunken chats on the mishaps and mind boggles of adulthood, from the time you left your passport in a toilet in Prague to the time you got fired twice. So grab a beer, even if it's 10 a.m, and let's roll the titles. Kids, what's good? So today I am joined by my brother from another mother, my partner in rave, and just an all-round funny guy. Arge, my boy, what are you saying?
Hello, I'm the funny guy that Kate's talking about. I'm doing really good. I'm glad to be on here. Thanks for inviting me, Kate.
Of course, anytime. What drink are you on? Can you just tell the viewers your hardcore drinking choice, please?
Yeah, so the story goes that I was sinking too many tinnies over the last few weeks with friends, so like I decided it's better for the budget just to get a big old bottle of whiskey. So I've got that and some lemonade, having some whiskey lemonade. Don't crucify me that I'm not having whiskey straight, whoever's listening.
Honestly, so I was sat in the garden with Dad earlier, and I'm not joking, I had half a glass of wine, like literally like a few sips in. And I was like, you know when you get into that stage of tipsy where everything feels a bit glittery and you're like, oh, the world's really beautiful. And I was like, oh my God, like what have I become? Like I'm not joking, I'm quite tipsy now. So we'll just see where this episode goes, because I'm probably going to be drunk by the end of it.
Yeah, we were just joking, like for people who are listening, we were just joking that this, if we have a break in the middle, this ad is sponsored by Kate's Tolerance to Alcohol, which means the ad is going to be about 5 seconds long.
Yeah, and it'll be like halfway through and I'll pass out on the keyboard. You'll be like, Kate, are you, yeah, you're not there anymore? Yeah, cool.
I don't know, like I thought I was like that, but then like, I guess like during lockdown, I'm not, so.
Yeah, in it.
I normally never drink whiskey because, like, when I was in first year, I was like, oh, I'm going to become a whiskey guy. Like, I need to become a whiskey guy this year. I was going to be that cool whiskey guy. So, like, I got, like, a bottle whiskey of whiskey after my, like, last exam. And then I literally just woke up the next day with, like, sick on me, like, just absolutely fucked up with no memory of the whole night. And I was like, okay, this is like, not good. And then I was like, I'll give whiskey one more chance. And I gave it another chance. And then again, like I blacked out with no memory at all of anything that ever happened. Like I just remember starting to drink and then that's it. I wake up in my bed. So it's basically like the night never happened. So like this is the first time I'm giving whiskey another try since.
It's a great time to start. You're not going to make any mistakes because you're on your own, right? So you're not going to do anything weird. No one will see it. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. No one knows. Even I have no memory of what happened. So
yeah, okay. Innit? Like whatever we distribute now, yeah, it's what it is, guys. Sorry.
Today we're talking all about traveling. So we're going to be chatting all about stupid decisions, hostel antics, partying abroad, traveling on a budget, which a lot of us do in our 20s, and also just why it's, you know, so important and transformative at this age. So obviously to start us off, Arj, I know last year you went on this extremely incredible solo trip around Asia. And what made you decide to do this trip on your own in Asia?
Ah, so this story goes back several centuries to the Ming Dynasty. So basically, for those who know me, like close friends around me, like I was in a relationship like very, yes, like soon before that trip, and like it was no one's fault in particular, but I think me and the person who I was in a relationship with were just like not very happy.
Yeah.
And like it was that summer where I always had like this idea of like I want to do a solo trip by myself with no plans, like just book a one-way flight and like just see what happens, because that's always been like my kind of like way to travel, because if you have no plans, like I always hear people say there's no plans are the best plans.
Yeah.
So like, and it's so true. And so I always had in my mind like I want to go to Nepal, because in my mind it's always been like one of those really spiritual places.
God,
and like,
yeah,
I was always really drawn to it. And like I just at that time in my life when I was with this girl, I was feeling very lost. I had like a lot of existential angst in me, which is like, I think it's a really common thing in your 20s to feel a bit existential about life.
Yeah,
like definitely. Especially this is why I'm on the podcast, probably because I'm speaking about literally shit, which is can I swear? I'm sorry.
Yeah, man, swear away.
because like I'm speaking about stuff which is like really relevant to our generation in particular, because the older generations, like the boomers as we like to call them,
I love like, that, it's so funny.
They always had like, I think there was always this like mentality of having your future planned out in your, if you lived in like the 70s or 80s, and like there was this like trajectory planned for you. But like now, because we're in like the 2020s and everything, like it's so much more open with what you can do in the world. We're more connected, like the world is way more international.
Yeah.
So like there's this openness, there's this freedom, but that also means that like people, the way isn't set out for people, so people can question it a little bit.
Yes.
So that's, I think, where like the whole like existentialism of like people in their 20s at the moment comes in. And
definitely.
I was definitely feeling that. I went through like a period of like about 2-3 months, maybe 6, that I was like, why are we here? Like, is the whole point of our future just to like get married, have kids, get a job, pension, that's it. And like I that was like something which was like really on my mind for ages. And then like at the end of it all, I basically just decided like I can't feel sorry for myself, I can't feel bad anymore, like something's got to give. So like I need to not be in this relationship, number one, because it's not very good for either the people who are in it. And then two, like I need to just go somewhere and like just figure it out with no plans. So then I literally decided, because I've been wanting to go to Nepal for so long, like I'm going to Nepal on my own. My parents had like a mini heart attack because they were like, Nepal so dangerous, like you can no
classic.
Plans, you're not even gonna tell us the hotel you're in.
Classic boomer.
classic boomer chat. But I was like, no, I need to do this, like it's just something which I need to do. And like I went to India with my family just to chill with my grandparents for a bit.
Yeah.
And then literally then I left to Nepal from India, which is a domestic flight, so it's not that hard to get to. And had a few, and the rest was history. That was why I wanted to go. How I went.
I remember when you came back, because I know you came to Manchester and you were just completely glowing, and you were so gassed about it all, and you could just see that it had really changed you profoundly, and in a way that I think only travelling really can. Because do you remember? Oh shit, yeah, because you came to Manchester and we went on that night out, and then me and you heard drum and bass in this random cellar of the club we were in, and we went down to the basement and started skanking. Yeah, it was amazing, And I just remember thinking like, this, like, my bro has just come back from this like life-changing experience, and he's just, you can tell that you were just like, it just changed you. And I think that's just the amazing effect that traveling has. It just really just changes your outlook and your way of being. I think everything seems a little bit more like, hey, when you've been traveling, because you've had that experience of other cultures, and you just appreciate life more, I think.
Yeah, that's the key part. You just appreciate life way more. Like, you learn that kind of, like, the interactions you have with people, and, like, the people you meet are pretty much everything. Because, like, and also, I think a big part about travel is, like, when you're in a certain social situation for a long period of time, you kind of forget that there are, like, an infinite number of people out there in the world with, like, different points of view who are, like, similar to you, who you can gel with. Like, you, once you go out of your, like, circle, which you've been, become so accustomed to be in, like it kind of opens your mind a bit, like you can like make, say if you say like, for example, someone is like in their 20s like us, like they're really like upset with how life is going for them, like they're with this friendship group and like they just don't know which way it's heading, and then they go traveling and then like they meet a bunch of people in hostels, they have like really lovely experiences, and they realize like actually your social group can like expand, like you can have all these amazing experiences, and like you can go beyond like your monotony of daily life. And I think like that's what it is. And like there's a really cool actually it's like it's literally a scientific phenomenon. So basically if you time, there's this thing about time as you grow older. Okay, now we're getting really deep.
Let's get deep. Go on.
There's this thing about time. I don't know how we suddenly went on to the concept of time, like out of nowhere. But okay, cool. where, so there's this concept of time that is basically like when you're really young, time passes really, really slowly, and as you grow older, time speeds up. And, like, and you might even notice this because, like, as you grow older, you notice that years pass a little bit more quickly.
Yeah.
And, like, that's actually a phenomenon. It's been documented that people, as they grow older, time passes more quickly. And, like, they did loads of studies and they found that time passes more quickly for those who have the same experiences multiple times. So, like, a monotonous type of life. Mm. And, like, the time passes more slowly when you have novel experiences or new experiences. So it actually scientifically works that, like, if you, I can't remember the study, but I remember reading about it, but, like, scientifically, if you're having more new experiences in a short amount of time, you feel like time's passing more slower, and you feel like that childish excitement of, like, discovering something new, you know, when you're a kid and you're like, you go to the playground for the first time. It's kind of like that with an adult version of it. Like, you're going traveling, you discover all these new things, and it kind of opens your mind up, and you get this childish excitement again, which wasn't there before. That's a massive part of traveling, which is really cool.
That's so interesting, because that explains why in lockdown, time is just going really fast and, like, really, like, so much of a blur because we're not doing anything. And I think it speaks volume that our friendship group is so open-minded, because we've all had these amazing experiences, which we're obviously really lucky to have, but I think that's why our friendship group as well is so big, because, so me and Arj and our friend Jacob made an event, and we were like, yeah, let's just invite a few, you know, close friends. And I think on the event now there's like 80 people, because they are genuinely our close friends. And that's just, you know, that's just how we are. Like, when you've been traveling, you just expand your group. And that's just what we've been doing for 3 years. It's just like, yeah, it just is what it is at this point. But
I think we could have a small secondary school year group with the amount of friends we have.
Yeah, that's so true. We've got like the whole of year 11 in our group. Yeah. So then would you say is your most spontaneous trip that you've ever taken, if you have one? I'm sure you do.
It was that Nepal trip that was the most spontaneous trip, because, like, I just got out of this 5 year plus relationship and it was, like, super intense. I wasn't traveling the way I wanted to travel, really.
Mm.
And, like, I was just like, you know, like, now it's the time to, like, just, like, let loose and just do what I want to do and travel the way I want to. So I've had, like, two really spontaneous ones. The first one was, like, when I went to Croatia and... what was it? Like, Croatia and Germany.
Mm.
And it just so happened that there was, like, a one-day layover in Rome. So I ended up having to, like, I could just explore Rome for a day as well.
Sick.
That was really spontaneous. That was actually how I met my ex. Like, I went on this big... Yeah, that was very spontaneous, actually. Basically, I really fancied her. And, like, I was like, do you wanna just go to, like, Germany? I've got no one to go with. Like, we'll just head out. And she was like, yeah, let's do it. So, like...
I love that.
Yeah, so, like, that's how we, like, kind of got to know each other. We just, like, went out to Germany, and then, like, we had a really sick time. Literally met this, like, random American dude on a bus, like, he was like, oh, you've got to come to this town, it's super sick, man. We went there, and then, like, it was, like, it's called Heidelberg. It was the most picturesque town we've ever encountered, and, like, we didn't even see it on the map, so we wouldn't have got there unless this American dude, like, decided to tell us about it.
Love that.
And, like, that was really spontaneous. We ended up nearly missing our flight in Rome.
Because, classic.
We were just, like, chilling. We got there 2 hours early. We were just chilling in the lounge, like, having a Starbucks and stuff. And we realized, oh, you're supposed to board, like, an hour before the flight leaving time. And then it was, like, 5 minutes to the leaving time. And we were like, oh, shit.
Well, oh, we've all been there. Mine was probably when I went to Berlin with Eleanor in January. So we were... planning to go on the Friday, and we didn't actually book flights until the Monday because it was such a last minute, like, fuck it, let's go to Berlin for Eleanor's birthday. And then we got there, we got to the airport, and we were like, oh, we've not actually booked a hostel yet, we should probably do that, right? So we were just sat at the airport and we booked this random hostel just for the first night because we wanted to see if it was, like, decent. So we got there, we had a night there, it was actually really sick, and then we just booked the other nights. But that meant that because we'd booked a night at a time, that every night we had to change rooms. So we'd, like, what would happen is we'd get really close to the people in our rooms and then be like, right, no disrespect to you, but we're going to change rooms now. See you later. And it was just amazing.
Oh, wait, it wasn't the hotel. You just have to change rooms.
Yeah, because it was at this hostel, and because we'd not booked all four nights, we'd booked one, and then after one night we'd book another. And we just kind of winged it in that way. So it just meant that every night they were like, oh, that room's no longer available. You've booked a new one. You'll have to go to a new room. So it was just really like, and because we'd both been before, we'd already seen all the shit that we wanted to steal at the museums and stuff. So we just kind of wandered around and ended up meeting these weird, like, German geezers. And it was just like, I think stuff like that is just the best way you can travel, really. Like, just following your nose and just seeing where the heck you end up.
That was actually snap to that story, because that's exactly what we did for Germany and Croatia. Like, we literally booked a room, a place for just one night, and then just... But we went to a different hotel every single night, which I don't really know why we did now. Like, I think it was just some flavour of hotels around there. But like that, your idea is a little bit better, at least. You can, at least you can like get to know other people in different rooms.
Yeah, for sure. What would you say is your, like, your favourite place that you've ever been to? I know that's like such an impossibly hard thing to even think about, but.
It's definitely between Nepal, India and Thailand, I think.
Yeah.
Nepal, we'll probably get into that later in this podcast anyway.
Yeah.
So I'll save that for later. So Thailand was really cool because it ranges from like Bangkok, which is like bustling city and like really intense. And if you know Asian cities, you know Asian cities are super intense. Like there's cars going around everywhere. There's like people on street peddlers selling food like in the middle of like motorway traffic. Like it's crazy stuff. So I really enjoy the hustle and bustle, but my favorite part of Thailand was in the Phi Phi Islands. So these are like a group of island chains just off the coast of Thailand.
Yeah.
And like, it's just so nice. It's like that serene island life you always dream about.
Yeah.
Basically, like you just go down, like there's a bar like you can just go to. The owner's called Mango. Like you just go with him for a bit.
I love that.
And you get this Thai food, which is literally like 10 feet from your hotel, which is about a pound for like a full dinner.
That's so good.
You can get drunk at the nearest bar and like just go have a pound of like fill your face Thai food. There's like Thai boxing around the corner. There's like a beach. The beaches are like just pristine and beautiful, and you can go like coral reef diving for like almost nothing. Like the beach life has always like really attracted me, so that's why I think Thailand is one of my favorite places.
Pretty incredible places. I think mine has to be the Grand Canyon. So when I went there, I was doing like a tour, like a trek thing I'd booked onto, and the tour leader like got us all to like blindfold ourselves. Is that the right word? Blindfold. Yeah, blindfold ourselves. And we all had to like hold onto each other's shoulders and walk in like a conga line. We got off the edge of the Grand Canyon and he was like, right guys, take off your masks. So we took off our masks and all I could see just like everywhere was just the Grand Canyon. And 19-year-old me was just like, what the? Because it was just like, it just looked like a watercolour painting. And because all I'd ever seen of it was like pictures on like Google and like American comedies and, you know, all that stuff. And I just saw it and I was like, how is this even real? Like, how does this exist? It's gorgeous. And then we hiked down it, and I remember being in like these really cheap vans, like, so my footwear was not great. I got to the bottom of it and we kind of forgot that we had to hike all the way to the top, because like obviously when you walk down it's a lot easier. And we were walking back up and we were like, oh, this is quite tiring, this, isn't it? Yeah. So we just thought we'd take a nap on this rock. So we like found this really nice rock and we were like, let's just like snuggle up here. And we woke up after about, I don't think it was long, it's probably like 20 minutes, it felt like forever. Yeah. And all these tourists were just like bending around us, like trying to take pictures of the Grand Canyon, like politely just, you know, ignoring us sleeping on a rock. And I don't really know how we didn't fall off and die, but, you know, it is what it is. And it's just like, it's just, you think back and you're like, how is that life? Like, it's just so surreal, like it's mad.
You hit on a good point there, which is basically... like whenever you travel, you just think like, I always find myself thinking that it's like, is this life? Like, is this, are we living this life? Like,
literally.
Oh, it's such a true fact. Like, I remember like just, so in Nepal, like I spent like about a week trekking through the Himalaya range called the Annapurna Circuit. And like, if when you're just traveling there, you basically stop, there are no like hotels, like quotation marks, because like there are literally just tea houses. Along the route, little tiny villages dotted along Himalayas and tea houses. And you basically pay for your breakfast and pay for your dinner, and then they give you free lodging for the night.
What?
So, so it's really, and the owners are like just all families with like dogs and stuff. So we spent about a week walking through the Himalayas and like stopping off at these little tea houses, spending the night in like really beautiful like valleys of mountain ranges. And like you just end up thinking like exactly what you were thinking in the Grand Canyon, like what, yeah. is this life? Like is
literally
this, life can be lived this way. Like,
yeah.
It's so nice.
Yeah, for sure. And I think especially in your 20s, like you don't have responsibility of like a kid and a mortgage and stuff. And I think you get so bogged down with being like, I need to be successful. I need to have, you know, this apartment and this car that you kind of just forget that you're so young. You've got so much ahead of you and that life is just this really weird, surreal blur. And it's up to you to kind of make it what it is, I guess. But it does really get you thinking of like the whole kind of, I think, traveling after uni gap year thing has definitely become kind of like a taboo subject, I think. Yeah, yeah. If you go on a gap year, yeah. gap year, I can't yeah, say definitely. It like without going gap yeah. year, but if you go on yeah. a gap year, it's kind of like you're just
talking about gap year.
Gap year.
You're talking about gap year.
Gap year. Oh, yeah, did you yeah. go on a gap year?
Oh yeah, what about gap year?
Yeah, gap year. I'm also made yeah. in Chelsea, but like you know, it's definitely this like massive taboo subject, and like it's. The fact of the matter is most people I know that went on a gap year, saved up for it for like 6 months, went abroad, had the best time of their lives, and it's not something that's superficial and, you know, you don't really come back with a pet elephant, but you might come back with some hippie harem pants. I have some myself. Yeah, but everyone's like, oh yeah, don't get a pet elephant, you know, stereotype, whatever, but I think it really is just something that everyone should do if they can, obviously, and if you're able
yeah,
to save up for it and go.
Get a pet elephant if we can.
Yeah. I'm still working on the pet elephant situation. I haven't actually had one yet. No well, animals were harmed.
Everyone should definitely yeah gap years. I never took a gap year. Like,
same.
I mean like the concept of a gap year is pretty cool. I guess like it's an individual thing. If you feel like you need to discover yourself after high school, then that's
yeah.
fine. Like just do it, and that's your gap year. But like if you feel like you need to discover yourself like midway through your 20s or like midway through uni, that's also
yeah,
fine.
For
like,
sure.
It's so individual to who you are. Like it's whenever you feel the calling, really.
Yeah, definitely. Whenever you think, do you know what, like I feel a bit dissatisfied or bored or just like I just want to get out, like a bit restless, like it's definitely something that you can just like fuck up everything and do, definitely.
Yeah.
So having said that, have you ever done anything really stupid abroad where you're like, how am I in this situation? Am I gonna die? I'm an idiot. Because I definitely have.
Okay, so there's a which story to start? Okay, cool. So I've got a cool story from my friend Lucas. Shout out Lucas Lindorfer.
Lucas,
most the coolest Austrian dude I know.
What
so like so basically this guy this isn't my story, because I'm kind of cheating, but like it's pretty funny. Like so basically, when we were trekking this Annapurna Himalaya range,
ooh,
it was basically monsoon season, which is like a pretty semi-dangerous season to do it.
Yeah.
But it has the advantage of there being no like massive groups of people on the trail.
Yeah.
So like it's pretty good. So like, but the small downside to that is because of the rain, there's loads of avalanches everywhere, and like these are like avalanches with like huge boulders the size of like roofs coming down
damn.
The mountain onto the path, like literally there were like forklifts taking boulders off the actual route because rocks the size of like rooftops had fallen down on them, so it's pretty dangerous sometimes. And
yeah.
like there are periods of warning where people aren't allowed to travel on that part of the trail. But basically my mate Lucas, who I met in Nepal also, he didn't come with us initially, he came like before us. And like when I finally met up with him halfway through the trail, he was like, oh, you know, I'm famous on the trail now. And I was like, what? How are you famous on the trail? And then he was like, yeah, so basically they're calling me the Austrian dude who nearly died now on the trail. Because like apparently like there was a massive, massive avalanche like right in front of him, which was ongoing as well,
shit.
Which is still happening. And like all of his, basically the people who he was like, he stopped off at a village just before it, and he was like, oh, should I do this? I need to go to the next village. And they were like, no, don't do it. There's an avalanche happening right now. Like it's still really unstable. And he was like, oh, but I really want to get to the other side. So like he decided to just do it. And basically he ended up dodging rocks like across a Himalayan pass. And like, he got to the other end of the village, and like they were like surprised to see him because people have died on that trail. And like he was literally like
oh my
going
God.
Over rocks which had just fallen like massive rocks which could take you out in a minute, like the split second. So like after that period, like basically he became famous on that trail for being the Austrian dude who like nearly died.
It's a great name to be known by. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So mine's a bit different in that it was just something I was being a liability. Anyone that knows me, you will agree. When I'm drunk, I tend to get a little bit. I'm a bit of a liability, let's just say. So I was in Italy.
I can attest to that.
Cheers, mate. So I was 20 at the time. And I was visiting some mates that I'd taught in Italy with, and they were now living there. So it's my friend Chris, shout out, and he was having like an apartment party. And we got really drunk, went to the local club, had a sick time. And then, long story short, it gets to like 5 a.m. and we miss the last train home. So I was like, do you know what? Like, it's fine, we'll walk. And he was like, nah. So anyway, we ended up hitchhiking a lift off these like random Italian men who were just like, yeah, get in, whatever. And then they start driving, down this really like sketchy looking alleyway that I just didn't recognise. So at this point I'm thinking, oh shit, I think they're going to kidnap us and send us into like a warehouse. So
was
I'm like,
was this in Rome or like?
This was in Foligno, a beautiful little town, kind of near Rome, in central Italy. Yeah. And so he's driving down this alleyway, and I'm thinking, this does not look familiar. I'm gonna die, good lord. And so I'm literally holding onto the door, yeah, thinking if he tries anything funny, I'm gonna tuck and roll, like I'm out of here. And then me and Chris look at each other like, oh shit. And then he pulls up, and he just pulls up outside a breakfast bar and buys us breakfast. So we had like what is it, like ham and cheese in a croissant kind of vibe. And I'm just sat there being like, what an absolute G. Like, took us for breakfast, really knows how to treat some tourists.
What a combo, ham and cheese and a croissant.
Mate, it's peng.
You underestimate the power of a croissant.
Yeah, it's sick. So we had that, and then he drove us back home, and I felt really bad for thinking he was going to murder us. But to my defence, he did go down some dodgy alleyways. So, moral of the story is probably don't hitchhike a lift in a random country, but also, like, they might buy you breakfast, so I guess it's fine. Oh wait, we should probably do a hashtag ad break. I actually forgot we were recording a podcast. I just started chatting away.
That's how it goes when you're having fun.
In it. Should we get a Bev top up? What are you saying? Shall we? Yeah.
I'm all tops up.
Go all right.
Ahead.
I might go downstairs and get a beverage. All right. We'll see you after this. Hashtag ad, not ad break. While I've got you here in this ad, not ad break, a massive thank you to all the listeners, because Navigating Your 20s is now streamed in 16 countries, which has honestly just absolutely blown my little mind. Thank you so much. And as a little thank you, I've teamed up with author Jess Smith, and we're giving you the chance to win her novel, Your 20s. Just head to @your20spodcast on Instagram to enter the giveaway. Just note that it closes on Friday the 22nd of May 2020, so apologies if you're listening after that date. And welcome back to part two, where I'm joined by my boy Arch, and we're chatting all about travel. So it's time for everyone's favourite part of the episode. Yeah, it's time for the Fun and Games game show. Woo!
Oh yeah! Alright! That's what we like!
Thank you for the enthusiasm. Oh my god, I love you. So your word, Arch, is suitcase. Mm-hmm.
Suitcase.
Yeah, man.
All right, travel advice. Pack a suitcase.
Oh, short and sweet. We like that. Yeah. Just pack your suitcase,
No. I take it back. Don't pack a suitcase. Suitcases are hard as hell. They're, like, difficult to carry around. Get a backpack. What were you doing messing around with a suitcase? Yeah, just get a backpack.
Yeah,
and my advice is, don't get a suitcase. Get a backpack.
I agree. All you need is a change of underwear, some sun cream, some condoms, and probably a hat, and you're good. Okay, back to part two and all about our travel antics. We've addressed so much, oh my god. Just going on from me being drunk abroad and doing stupid things, have you ever had any amazing drunk moments abroad where you're just like, this is just surreal because I'm abroad and I'm smashed?
Yeah, so, okay, so this is going to sound so weird.
Say it.
Basically, I was really drunk, and like I was just like chilling with my friend Annalisa, my girlfriend at the time, and like her and Annalisa's brother. Yeah. And like I kept on just like making friends with these like random other people, which I do in general anyway.
For sure.
But then like I kept on like looking down like above the building we were on, the rooftop we were on, and going, oh, it'd be so cool if I was able to fly off this building. And like it was so bad. And everyone was going like the guards were just going, what the fuck, you're not gonna jump, are you? Like,
oh my god, mate.
And I was like, no, I'm not gonna jump, I'm just saying it would be really cool to like fly off this just in general. I don't know why I said it. I was obviously not thinking of jumping off the building. No suicidal thoughts whatsoever. Like, I was just like, oh, I really would love to just jump off this building and like be okay.
Oh my god.
I don't know, paraglide or something.
That's amazing. Mine, I think, has got to be, so it's similar. I went to like a rooftop party, but it was at this random hotel in San Jose. So I stayed with my American friend for a little while after doing Camp America, and we were both underage, so we were both 18 and 19. So we went to this random American house party in a hotel, and it was so Californian because it was like really lavish, and you could tell they're all, you know, quite well off, and we were all really drunk at this point. And then because we were all underage, like the police came to like bust the party.
5-0.
Yeah, literally. And I remember my friend Kalila was like, we need to get Kate out of here or she'll be deported. And all the boys were like, oh shit, no. So they like, literally, I got in the back of this, I don't even know what car it was because I don't speak very good car, but it was a posh car. Ferrari? Yeah. No, it wasn't. Definitely wasn't a Ferrari. It was a fancy car. So I'm in the back of this car and they're driving like way past the limit because they just thought that I was going to get deported because I was British and underage. And then we just speed along the motorway and get back to Kalila's house. And it was like a close call. We missed it. But it was just like, I don't know, just really surreal being in a random hotel with a load of Americans getting drunk. I was like, is this my life? Like, am I Californian now? Like, it was, yeah. It was, that's, it so was cool. Jokes.
America's like one of those places which I've never been. I really want to go to America.
We should swap because you need to go to America and I need to go to Asia. So like we just need to give each other tips for those definitely, those different places.
Swap, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Literally. So I suppose obviously it's great to travel in your 20s and it's amazing that we've got such stories to tell. But I suppose it's harder said than done, isn't it? Because obviously traveling, unfortunately, you kind of need money for it. And I suppose when you're in your 20s, especially just a few years after graduating, you're kind of skint for like a few good years. So how would you kind of go traveling on a budget and kind of make it work if you just don't have any money?
Okay, got you. Right. All right. So these are the insider tips, right? So,
yeah, Mom.
Like basically, Skyscanner, great for flights. You just prepare really easily. That's my go-to for flights. And then, like, you just, if you don't, I would always recommend just doing a one-way flight. Don't get return because if you have time to spare, like, you can potentially go to so many more places and not have the commitment of having a return flight.
Yeah.
Go to street food, authentic eats. Obviously, be wise with the street food because, like, street food poisoning is like big in some countries, so like just gauge it yourself. Get buses everywhere. Don't bother with trains because buses are really, really cheap anywhere, any country you're in.
Yeah.
And you can just, it's like, and if you get an overnight bus or something as well, you don't even have to sit through it. You can just sleep on the bus.
Exactly.
Which didn't happen on my trip to Nepal because the road was like,
oh, I can imagine. Jesus Christ, yeah.
But so get buses. Don't go on package tours. I have a massive vendetta against package tours or like tours of anything in general. Just discover it yourself. Like
exactly.
The whole reason you're traveling is to discover. So bun the package tours. Just like if you want to go somewhere, get some tips from locals. Like ask people stuff. It also gets you more interacting with people.
Exactly.
Just ask people a few things.
Yeah, exactly. You get those people, don't you, that are like, yeah, I'm only going to stay in, like, nice hotels. And I'm just like, yeah, that's nice. But, like, you're never, surely if you're traveling and you're seeing shit, you're never spending that much time in your hotel apart from to sleep. So, like, I don't know. Like, if it's a romantic getaway, fair play. But I've had, like, couples holidays before where I've gone away with a boyfriend and we've literally stayed in hostels because we're like, you know what? We just want to meet people and have fun. And I think, especially at this age, like, we like being rough and ready. We like a bit of, you know, getting down with the kids. Like, it's just more fun to stay in hostels because the people that you meet in hostels are just, like, people that are very interesting and wacky and wonderful, and you wouldn't normally meet them in everyday life. And they also give you gifts. Have you noticed that? Have you ever had that? Like, so I've often befriended
people. I've never
got
any gifts.
Really? Mate! Oh, you go to the wrong hostels. Like, I always befriend people in hostels after, like, a night together. Not in that way, but, you know, chatting and stuff. And then the day after, they're like, here, have my ring. And I'm like, oh, my God, thank you, Selena. And it's like this tacky ring that makes your finger black.
What would you do if I walked up to you in a bus and I was like, have my bracelet? I want you to have my bracelet.
I'd be like, can I get off at the stop, please? It's my stop.
Take my bracelet, please.
Slap.
My dying wish. I found myself on some trips where, like, I met loads of people, but after a while I just needed, like, some solo time to just be on my own and kind of explore it a bit more by myself. And, like, it's important to, like, I think, like, say that when you travel, you don't always need to meet people. Like, it's about you as much as it's about everyone else. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's very cool that you meet people because everyone's on the same kind of... Everyone was thinking the same thing when they booked the same place.
Yes.
That's how I describe it.
Yeah. So cool. And that brings us really nicely onto the kind of solo travel versus traveling in a group, because I am such an extrovert and I love being around people and I kind of need to be around people to function in a way. But when I go traveling, I'm the opposite. I actually really enjoy just being on my own and just not having to make conversation and just being able to like soak it all in and just be like, oh my God, that's the Taj Mahal or something really cool. Like, so what would you say to people that are kind of, there's a lot of people that haven't ever tried solo travel before because like me, they're just extroverts and that's cool. But there's definitely a lot of benefits to just popping off on your own for a little while.
I would say, I need to stop saying basically. I say basically so much.
Basically, mate, like, yeah.
I say like too much. I'm not.
I say like every 3 seconds.
like. So, I would say, what was the question?
I forgot. We've had too much alcohol. Solo travel, innit?
Solo travel. Oh yes, people who just wanted to get into solo travel.
Innit, yeah.
So it can be really daunting because, like, obviously you've had when I first started solo traveling, the only traveling I'd done was with my parents, really. And like, if you have like that, you kind of like, you can identify it. Like, if you have that itch in your soul, like you want to just go on your own somewhere and experience something.
Yes.
Like, you kind of have an itch, like something. I need something bigger than what I'm going through on an everyday basis. So, like, when you have that itch, you kind of, like, it's a good indicator that you need some sort of travel in your life in general. Don't be afraid. Dive in there. If you've got that itch in your soul, just go for it. And, like, at the end of the day, I always say doing something is better than not doing it. Because getting an experience. Even if it's good or bad, you're getting an experience. And it's going to develop you as a person. So, yeah, just...
Yeah.
Dive in. Easier said than done.
Yeah, and, like, for sure.
It gets easier the more you travel, but I would say it's worth the risk. Just do it.
It's so enriching. And I think just to kind of finish off then, how would you say that traveling has kind of changed you?
It's really confirmed like a lot of beliefs which I held inside me for a long time without having the confirmation of. So like, I think that a good thing to remember is like when you take a risk, the universe always rewards that risk. If you follow your gut on something, chances are the universe is going to work in your favor because the universe rewards people who follow their gut, go where their instincts, like follow their feelings. It's not a scientific thing. Like, it's not like a mathematical, like hypothesis based, like evidence based thing, like going with your gut. But like, honestly, going with your gut has got me into the best situations I would have ever possibly hoped to be in.
Definitely. Especially in your 20s. Who gives a shit about having your shit together? What does that even mean? Just experience I posted something on the podcast Instagram the other day being like, the main thing in your 20s is to just experience things, good and bad, and just see what you like and you don't like. And just go and see places.
Guys, everyone's just pretending.
In it? I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm faking it. I'm like, yeah, man.
Yeah, that's the big secret. No one really knows what they're doing. We're all pretending. Just like, you might as well do your own thing if we're all pretending.
In it, yeah. If one's a faker, yeah, literally, just fuck off to Brazil. I don't know. Brazil look cool. Like, just, yeah. The moral, I guess the moral that we're trying to tell people here is just to travel. Because it just, there's a big world out there, bigger than your hometown, bigger than the place you went to uni, bigger than your friendship group. Like, just go and see it and just expand your mind and just
also
live.
Just like to expand on that,
yes.
Travel doesn't have to be abroad to another country.
Exactly.
You literally go to, even if you're in your own country and you can't afford to go to a different country.
Yeah.
Just go to, so just go to gatherings, like.
Literally, yeah. Travelling could literally be going to your local reservoir and just sitting there with a book and being like, this is cool. Like, travelling to me is just any place that's new and cool, I guess. Like, exactly. Any place just beyond where you grew up. Like, even if it's just going to where you grew up at uni or, you know, where you started a first job. Like, just seeing the world for what it is, I think, is just travelling in general. It doesn't have to be some exotic, you know, £1,000 trip to Australia, which none of us can really afford. It's literally just about seeing new places, meeting new people. Definitely, yeah.
Totally, just do your thing, man. Just do your own thing and, like, listen to yourself. Like, it doesn't have to be defined on anyone else. Just listen to what you feel you need to do.
Yes, I love that. And honestly, mate, I cannot wait until this fucking corona is fucked off and we can go, like, festivaling, travelling, partying, all that stuff. Like, ah!
Oh, can't tell me about it, can't wait. Oh!
It's going to feel even more amazing and I want it even more.
Oh my god, as the days pass by, I feel myself craving it more and more.
Same. Wanderlust. Hashtag Wanderlust. Literally.
Hashtag nomadic. Hashtag Wanderlust.
Literally, yeah. Hashtag Travelgram. Listen, mate, thank you so much for joining me on the sixth episode of the podcast. It's been an absolute joy and... I miss you fucking loads. But yeah.
Honestly, thank you. It's been like a pleasure like being on here. I hope people enjoyed this. Like, and like, thank you for being just an awesome presenter. I've seen you present twice now and it's both been on point. So
oh, I love you, Despro.
Well, that many subscribers so recently as well. That's incredible.
Oh, I love you, bro. Yeah. I can't wait. Oh, mate, I'm going to hug you. I'm going to have many beers with you. We're going to rave the boys. It's going to be a great time.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening. If you've had a nice time, please do subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a topic that you want us to navigate together, just let me know. And why not binge all the other episodes? Give us a follow at Navigating Your 20s Podcast on Instagram and Facebook to stay up to date. And see you next time on Navigating Your 20s.